Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, Muncie Civic Theater presents The Best Christmas Pageant Ever on the Main Stage Theater December 5th and 6th, 12th and 14th, and 18th through the 20th. It's about a couple struggling to put on a church Christmas pageant and faced with casting some inventively awful kids. The Muncie Symphony Orchestra presents Holiday Pops Concerts on Saturday and Sunday with Jenny DeVoe, Saturday at 4 p.m. in Emmons Auditorium, and Sunday in Greentown. Details online at MuncieSymphony.org. Meanwhile, tickets now available for the Indiana Public Radio live radio drama, The Gift of the Magi, directed by Jennifer Blackburn and starring local folks. The broadcast is Friday, December 12th at 7:30 p.m., but you really want to be in Sursa Performance Hall to see them put it on. It's The Gift of the Magi radio play. Tickets at the Emmons box office, or give me a call. I'll get you one. How many times do you think we hear it, the phrase, this is the season? It's the season of many things, of course, of giving, of families, joy, and hope. It's also the season of hunger. The U.S. Agriculture Department says about 15% of all Americans are considered food insecure, struggling to get enough to eat. A $5 billion cut in food stamp benefits last year only made the problem worse. And once again this year, we're hearing about food pantries struggling to keep up with demand. In our area, that means a bigger challenge for the Second Harvest Food Bank of East Central Indiana. Today we'll talk with Tim Keene, the Second Harvest president and CEO. But first, the connection some folks have made. The season of giving, remember? It turns out that Second Harvest really needs volunteers.
I'm Emily Green. I'm a sophomore here at Ball State. I am volunteering for one of my classes, but coming here, it's been awesome. I've been coming here for like 3 weeks now, I think, and the staff here is awesome. They're like really laid back. They just tell you what to do and they help when you need it. Today, I came with one of my friend Alex, and we've been bagging potatoes and looking through like the good ones and the bad ones to make sure that the families that get them, they don't have any rotten ones so that they can like go and make them for dinner and stuff.
You've been here for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What have you learned in that time?
Well, it depends on which day we come. I normally come either Tuesday or Thursday. And one of the first times we came, we did, what was it, onions. And then we like stacked crates and we put saran wrap around the crates. So we've got to do like a lot of handwork and also like bagging fruits and vegetables. Like we did apples the next week. And then I've been doing potatoes for 2 weeks now. So it's been quite interesting.
You've done some volunteer work before.
Mm-hmm.
What's the attraction of volunteering? I mean, it's you're doing more than a job. There's something to it, right?
Yeah, I like coming here and kind of giving back. It's not more just on me. I like to like give myself to like others, helping them out more, like putting food on their table if they need it, or like giving them a like second hand, or whoever needs the help, I'm just giving back to them instead of like focusing more on me. So that's why I like to volunteer and like help out.
What's it like here today with these girls? It looks like you're having fun.
Yeah, every time I come, there's new people. It's a new environment. You get to make multiple friends. I didn't know any of these girls besides one coming in, and now I know I think six or seven, so it'll be like new faces to see around campus. So it's nice getting to know like other people while you're helping other people.
It seems like college students do a lot of volunteering. Mm-hmm. I know that in the Greek life, that's important. What do you think?
Well, I know for like our sorority, we do philanthropies and stuff for like other organizations, but for like ourselves, we have to have a certain number of community service hours, but we all kind of go together and like make it more of an experience. And we want like our organization to look better to people so that they think, oh, we're all helping, and like, cause we love to give back, and that's what Greek life is all about. Like we all work together to do something for someone else.
Is there a personal good feeling in volunteering?
Yeah. I know after I leave here, I'm like, okay, I kind of like, it gets like a weight off my shoulders that knowing that I did something good for somebody else, and it like makes me feel better, I guess, at the end of the day.
This is a big warehouse and there's a lot of food here.
Yes. I mean, there's like fruits, vegetables, and not only that, there's like boxed foods and bread that they have to go through and like absolutely everything, so.
What do we know about how much need there is for food pantries and things like that?
I I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows how much need that people
are. Is there more? When you saw this, did you go, oh, I didn't realize?
Yeah, like I was in class and one of the owners came up and like kind of talked to our class about how they love having volunteers. And then I came and I just walked in the warehouse. I was like, oh my gosh, like I actually know what they're talking about now. They said they need as many volunteers as possible. And like, I know there's other places that are like, oh, like a couple is fine here and there, but there could be like a big group coming of like 90 and we get like so much stuff done. So I don't think people know what's inside the warehouse until they walk in and see it personally.
You think that there's more need for food pantries maybe than some of us realize? I mean, if we're not hungry ourselves, we don't really see it.
Right, yeah, and I think there's only like food pantries like little places around like Indiana, and I think there needs to be more because I don't think everybody knows how much, like, there's some people that are in need, but nobody knows about it until, like, they're kind of closer to one of the warehouses.
You've done different kinds of volunteer things, and you've been here for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How do you rate this as a place to volunteer?
I like this more because you do something different every day. I just wish there was more volunteers that came out to help around here. Like, they, once they see the warehouse, they'll want to come back more and more, and the employees here are awesome. They come and thank us every single time we're here, which makes it like more better on us because we're like, okay, yes, like they actually see we're helping out. It's something everybody needs to come do.
That's Emily Green, a Ball State University student who joined other folks volunteering at Second Harvest Food Bank recently. They're at curehunger.org if you want to help out. Up ahead, Second Harvest president on the special challenges they're facing this year.
She calls out to the man on the street. Sir, can you help me?
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Interesting story in the Greenfield Daily Reporter the other day. The headline, Indiana food pantries see need for outreach increases as winter and the holidays bear down. They went to the Hancock County food pantry during a food distribution. The parking lot was full. A long line was waiting. Some people shivering in the cold. We've seen that around Muncie, too. We're seeing more of this kind of coverage. In part, it may be a case of a good seasonal story for newsrooms interested in writing about people in need and folks trying to help out. But then you remember that food stamp benefits were cut by $5 billion just a year ago. Doing its part to help the estimated 15% of Americans who need food assistance is the Second Harvest Food Bank of East Central Indiana, where Tim Keene is president and CEO. We talked with him in the middle of a busy warehouse as volunteers sorted potatoes nearby.
Tell me about the importance of volunteers and what you do here.
Well, volunteers are critical to the mission that we have because we have a small staff. We have 16 people that work here, and we could not get, last year we got out 13 million pounds of food. We could not do it without the level of volunteers that we had. Last year we had 16,000 hours of volunteers. That was 8,000 individual people. So we literally rely on having people help come in and get this work done.
This is a big operation. Does that surprise people when they see how big this network is?
You know, many people we talk to in the community have recognized our name. You heard of Second Harvest Food Bank? Oh yeah, yeah, I've heard of them. But when you ask them what it is we do, they kind of describe it more in terms of a food pantry where people show up here at our door and we distribute food to hungry people. It's really not what we do. We're kind of one step removed from that. We're a warehouse and a distribution center. So we supply the food primarily to agencies that serve hungry people. So the scope of the operation many times takes people by surprise. When they come here for a tour, you see 1 million pounds of food in our inventory. They're kind of like, wow, I had no idea that big of an operation would be here.
There are food pantries where people go and pick up the food. Then there's a food bank that supplies the food pantries.
Right.
How many pantries and organizations do you work with?
Well, we cover 8 counties in East Central Indiana, and we supply food to 110 different programs in those 8 counties.
And you have a warehouse with 1 million pounds of food.
We do. It's not something that we're trying to grow the inventory, but because of the abundance of food that's available that is going to be disposed of, we try to capture as much as we can, as quick as we can, and get it out the door as quick as we can as well.
Which raises the question, where does it come from?
Well, it comes from all over the United States. Because we're a member of the Feeding America National Network, we have access to bring this food in from all over the U.S., from our regional area, from the food producers and retailers in this area. And so it comes from everywhere.
So a big store, for instance, may have some product that it no longer needs or feels it can sell.
It can come from a retail store, but primarily most of this food comes from warehouses and distribution centers.
Well, and the fact that Indiana is so centrally located, does that, you ever encounter a truckload of product that is here because of our location?
Sure, we have folks that are transversing the United States and they may be stopping in Indiana and they may have an issue with a load for some reason. Sometimes we get calls when truckers have minor accidents and need to offload products. So we get some of that through the interstate connections we have. But we have an awful lot of folks that when they deliver it to a distribution center, it may or may not meet the specifications. So at that point, then we get a phone call and we may be able to accept that whole semi-load of food.
Young people who are here today, tell me how common this is and what are we seeing?
Well, what you see here is a great example of people that have a heart for the mission that we serve. Some of them are here for a class requirement, but many of them have said, you know, we are familiar with hunger from different perspectives, and we want to feel engaged in this mission, and this gives us an opportunity. So we bring opportunities to Ball State students and those in Delaware County and all the eight counties to come here, engage with us in what we do to help feed the hungry.
What is it about college students? They seem to have a lot of energy and enthusiasm.
Well, they have way more than I do. They're here any time of the day. They're welcome. Come in here from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. And they can come and go pretty much without too many restrictions. So this group of folks always has a lot of enthusiasm, always has a heart that are open to helping people. So it's a great engagement.
What's changed in the food bank world in the past 20 years or so? I mean, I know you haven't been here for 20 years, but you've been in the food industry for a long time.
You know, even as recently as 10 years ago, people in the general community knew there were hungry people, but may really not know them, may not have been around them. But since the recession, that has changed the picture pretty dramatically. And now, it's very rarely I talk to somebody in any part of the community who doesn't know someone who's struggling. It may be that they work with that person, they go to church with that person, they live down the street, might be a member of their own family. So now the picture has come much more closer to home for everybody.
So we officially got out of the Great Recession sometime in 2009. It's been a few years. Has the demand for food gone down in that time?
You know, the demand really hasn't. The amount of people that are still struggling with food insecurity has remained fairly constant. At the height, it was about 80,000 people in these eight counties, and now it's about 74,000 people. So yes, that's progress, but there's still 74,000 people that are struggling. It's really been a little bit of a disconnect in terms of the economic recovery. There are people who have experienced that through investments that have regained their value and those kinds of things. But if you are on the lower end of the economic spectrum, you really haven't experienced that at this point.
Do you think that most folks don't realize how much need there is?
I think it's very surprising. I think it's very surprising. When you tell people one in six people in this community doesn't have enough food to eat, one in four children in this community doesn't have enough food to eat, if they have never had any association with that, it may be a little hard for them to get their mind wrapped around that.
What kind of a budget do you have and where does the money come from?
Our overall operating budget this year is $1.6 million. We have a really diversified funding source. We don't rely on any one particular area for the funding that we operate on. We have two government contracts that represent about 8% of our budget. The rest of the budget comes in from agencies that distribute this food, help offset some of our logistical costs. We have a direct mail program where we mail solicitations out to people. We have a lot of grants that we write. We have special events and fundraising that we do. So overall, it's probably about 35 different sources of funding.
you go out and talk to the public sometimes. I mean, you were out there telling the story of Second Harvest.
And I think it goes back to what their history has been individually. If they have grown up in an environment where they've never experienced it being in need, if they were never around people who've ever been in need, nobody in their family was ever in need, it's a little hard to wrap your mind around the idea that one in six people are struggling. But if you have come from that, or if you have some association with it, I think you have an easier time understanding that that's reality.
Your phone rings from time to time with folks with some product, right? Tell me about how that works.
We rely on people's generosity for the food that is donated to us, but a lot of that generosity comes from the idea that they have a product they no longer want. As in the case of a retail store or a warehouse and distribution center. So all the food we have in our warehouse, for the most part, was headed to the landfill before we were able to reclaim it. So our act in terms of helping people is also keeping food out of the landfill and getting it into the hands of folks who are struggling.
Tim Keen, the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, who says volunteers contributed 16,000 hours of work last year to help get supplies from his agency out to food pantries across the region.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
At Second Harvest Food Bank north of Muncie today, talking about what is becoming an annual story, the need of America's hungry as biting winter winds arrive during the holiday season. Second Harvest last year distributed 13 million pounds of food to dozens of food pantries across East Central Indiana. If that sounds like a big logistical challenge, you are right. And it's also a challenge to find the volunteers to help. And we were lucky enough to meet some of those folks during a recent visit, including this Ball State nursing student.
My name is Leanna Masters. I am from Greencastle, Indiana, small town.
Okay.
I'm a sophomore at Ball State. I'm here for a health science class. Basically, we have to have 10 hours of community service, and we went to this voluntary service that showed Second Harvest Food Bank, and my friend and I decided to come here. And all day we've been packaging up potatoes and kind of going through each bag, picking out the bad potatoes and repackaging them to make sure people don't get bad potatoes in their sacks.
You're sort of a volunteer kind of person.
Yeah, I volunteered at a food bank that we did at my church, which was a really cool experience to be on both sides of the spectrum as far as here at Second Harvest, you know, we're packaging stuff, and at the food bank, we're actually working with people one-on-one and being able to see the change that it makes in them as far as like handing out food, you know, helping them carry their groceries to their car, things like that. So,
what did you learn from being at the food bank back home?
There's a lot of people in need. That's for sure, more than what I ever thought, because I come from a very small community and I didn't think that there were that many people in need, because it's more of a town where it's like everybody knows everybody. And so being at that food bank, it's like, wow, there are a lot of people that I personally know that are actually in serious need of help that I never would have known if I hadn't have gone to that food bank. So it's a really eye-opening experience.
I think there's kind of a connection between what a person has to feel in terms of service to be in healthcare and to do this kind of work that you're doing today?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, I love to help people. And so it's like, as far as being a nurse, you know, you're working one-on-one with people and you're being completely selfless in that situation and just trying to meet their every need, no matter what it takes. And here, it's like you're not necessarily working with people one-on-one, but it's the end result. You are, in a sense, working with people because you're, you know, giving them food, supplies, whatever they need. And then in the end, they are going to receive that, but you just don't see that interaction. You know what I mean? As far as like in a nursing setting, you are able to see how that impacts them. So I think as far as, you know, needing to have that heart desire to help people, I think, yeah, that's, it's completely, it goes hand in hand.
Some people say that we really don't know how many folks are actually in need, you know, don't get enough to eat. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, all the time, because there's so many people that, I think it's a pride or an ego issue, they don't want the help. I know lots of family that just don't want the help because they're embarrassed or they feel like if they need help, they're less of a person than others. And in my opinion, it has nothing to do with that. Some people go through different stages in life where it's like, you just need more help than another person, and that's okay. We all start somewhere. And so for me, it's like, I see a need in someone and I want to help them because we've all been there. And if we haven't been there, I'm sure we might be there at some point in our lives and would like the same favor in return.
It looks like you've been having fun. I mean, it doesn't look like it's a drudge.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think the music helps. I love to dance and sing, so we've kind of been joking around, hanging out with the music. It's nice to have more than just one person doing it too. And these girls over here are great. I know a lot of them because they are from my class and they are nursing majors as well with me. So it's just awesome to all be working towards one goal. And I think it definitely makes the time go by faster too. And it's a lot of fun. They're a great group of people, so.
In general, do you think college students are willing to help people out like this?
Honestly, I think it just depends. I think it's a 50-50 because so many people are different, you know. It really just depends on what their goals are in life and where their hearts are at and their desire, you know. Some people would rather not, and that's totally fine too, but most people that I'm associated with as far as like nursing and things like that, I find that they really just have a heart to help people. But as far as other people, I can't really speak for them, you know. I think if I were to look at the big picture, I think there are a lot of student organizations on campus, and so I feel like there are a lot of college students who do like to help out, as long as, you know, there is a need and people know what's available.
How about this time of year? You know, we're getting into wintertime.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're more aware this time of year about people being in need?
I think so, just from the standpoint of, you know, Christmas is coming up and people always get in the spirit of giving, and I think with winter coming, a lot of people kind of just open up their spectrum as far as giving. And so they notice they need more than, you know, maybe during the summer or during spring, where it's not focused around giving in the sense as far as the spirit and time of year.
Leanna Masters of Greencastle, a Ball State nursing student and volunteer at Second Harvest Food Bank north of Muncie. We met a whole platoon of students working at the food bank the other day. They're the people who do the sorting, packing, and other chores that make the operation run and get food onto the trucks headed to food pantries across East Central Indiana. It's the season of many things, of course, of giving, of families, joy, and hope. It's also the season of hunger. The U.S. Agriculture Department says about 15% of all Americans are considered food insecure, struggling to get enough to eat. A $5 billion cut in food stamp benefits last year only made the problem worse. The season of giving, it turns out, is also the season of hunger, and the chance for volunteers to make a difference at a time of the year when people are especially inclined to reach out and help. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.